Hello and welcome. My name is Declan. I'm a librarian with Kilkenny County Council Library Service and I'm based in the Local Studies Department. Kilkenny has always been blessed by many tourists. Today we're going to look at reminiscences of one such tourist. His name was Sir John Carr. He lived between 1772 and 1832 and he was a native of Devonshire. Sir John's work, The Stranger in Ireland, or a tour of the southern and western parts of that country in the year 1805, is the work I'm going to read from. So enjoy John's reminiscences of Kilkenny. I set off for Kilkenny and in my way passed through some portions of rich hilly country, chiefly in pasture. The views were frequently very extensive and picturesque. The cabins were very wretched in general, but in some places by their neatness, elegantly display that there are proprietors who feel the justice as well as the policy of making their tenantry happy. "Arrow by my soul," said one peasant to another as walking up the hills of Tipperary. He, speaking of a rich avarice farmer, said, "It's worth £2,000 to my knowledge, but I would not nail him up to a peach tree with his clothes." At Kilkenny I found quite a jubilee bustle on in the streets, and elegant equipages driving about in all directions. The annual theatricals of this delightful little town has attracted a great number of fashionables from Dublin and the surrounding country. These dramatic amusements, varied by races, balls and concerts, are supported by gentlemen of rank and fortune for the purposes of converting the result of a highly intellectual and social gratification into a permanent source of relief for those who are sinking under want and misery. To the eternal honour of Ireland be it spoken that this sentiment is a prevailing one. The character of an Irish gentleman may be described in these words: gaiety and generosity. The theatricals of Kilkenny last about a month, and at the end generally leave a balance after deducting the expenses of the house, dresses not included, of £200, which is applied to charitable purposes. £140 have been received in one night. The theatre, which is the private property of the gentlemen who perform, is small and elegant, and the whole except the back of a gallery is laid out in boxes, the admission to which is 6 shillings. Over the proscenium of the stage is written the following elegant and expressive motto from the pen of General Taylor: "Whilst we smile, we soothe affliction." I saw Henry IV performed. The principal characters were admirably supported, and the dresses were uncommonly superb. Lord Mountjoy appeared one night in a dress valued £8,000. The female performers were engaged from the Dublin stage. The house was crowded, and enabled me to speak with confidence on the beauty of elegance of the higher orders of Irish ladies. The principal characters at these theatricals are supported by Mr. R. Power, Mr. Lester, Mr. R. Langrish, Lord Mountjoy and company. Ormond Castle, formerly the principal seat of the Dukes, now the Earl of Ormond, is a noble ancient mansion. I was principally struck with the two vast unequal round towers which flanked the entrance. The stairs which are on the opposite side of the road are very fine. In the great gallery of the castle, which is nearly as long as the whole length of the building, I saw some good paintings. Those which struck me most were Charles I and the Earl of Stafford by Van Dyck, and a head of Lady Amelia Nassau, Countess of Austria, who, if the portrait was a faithful one, must be a most beautiful woman. I made a sketch of the back part of this castle from the bridge over the River Nore. The cathedral, a fine old Gothic structure, and its round tower are well worthy of notice, are at the ancient ruins of three old monasteries called St. John, St. Francis and the Black Abbey. The windows of the Black Abbey are very curious. The counties of Limerick, Tipperary and Queen's County abound with more antiquities than any other part of Ireland. At the top of the town there is a very handsome asylum for 20 decayed female housekeepers which have been recently endowed by Mr. Switzer out of the noble fortune created by business. Each of the objects of this charity is allowed a very comfortable room, coals, candles and £10 a year. The walks along the side of the River Nore are singularly beautiful, from which the College of Kilkenny is a very pleasing appearance. This college was founded by the great James, Duke of Ormond, in the year 1682 and endowed by him with the annual sum of £140 to be paid yearly out of the Ormond estate until his grace should have allocated land for the purpose to the same amount, which his death had prevented. The school is regulated by 24 rules or statutes which are signed by his grace and regularly transmitted from master to master. The presentation was originally in the Ormond family, but in case of failure of mail issue, it was devolved to the Provost and Senior Fellow of Trinity College Dublin, and ever after to continue so. They in consequence presented the last three masters. There are three visitors appointed by the statutes whose duty is to inspect the house and co, the master's conduct, the management of the institution, These are the prophets of Trinity College, the bishops Vossey and Ferns. On the day of their intended visitation, the mass is entitled to a fat buck from Mrs. Grace's next park for their entertainment. The buck is regularly given by the Earl of Ormond. They are in general two or three classical teachers, besides the principal, exclusive masters in writing, French, drawing, music and dancing. The number of students seldom have exceeded 70, 40 or 50 of which are bored in the house, the remainder are day scholars. It is liberally and wisely open to use of all religious descriptions, either as boarders or otherwise. The old house having fallen greatly into decay, the present edifice was erected in the year 1784 at the expense of £5,000 granted by Parliament. A considerable military force is garrisoned here. In this town, the Breton laws were formally abolished and the Parliament held here in the 40th year of Edward III under Lionel, Duke of Clarence, the then Lieutenant of Ireland. At the time of the conquest of Ireland, the Irish were governed by this law, which was traditionary. I was informed that a Protestant school was about to be raised by subscription. After receiving the most polite and friendly attention from General Taylor, the then commanding officer of the district, whose noble spirit of patriotism was displayed in an annual volunteer contribution toward defraying the expense of prosecuting the war, is, I believe, unequal throughout the empire. I left Kilkenny and took the post-chase diligence for Athy, where I intended to vary the tour by return to Dublin by the Canal Bow, which proceeds from the former town. The posting from Cork to Dublin is uninterrupted and the roads excellent. Our first stage to Castle Corb, about 10 miles lay over a mountainous and pleasant country, close to which are the pits from which the Kilkenny coal is taken. This coal makes no smoke and when completely ignited resembles a massive melted glass. This coal and that of County Tipperary are carried to a very great distance. Castle Comber still retained many visible marks of its melancholy fate during the rebellion of 1798, when it was nearly reduced to ashes. The subject of the rebellion lends me here to observe that I learned from many military officers who were actively engaged in suppressing it that they dearly purchased the conviction of the inutility and folly of opposing cavalrymen to pikemen. The grounds of the Dowager Lady Ormond, upon whose estates are the Colbits, are finely wooded and very beautiful. On a road to Castle Cormor, the off-horse proved to be the most vicious animal ever beheld. His hinder legs were frequently within each of our driver's head, who at every plunge with perfect composure strike him on his rear, exclaimed, "And by the plague that's got hold of you now, why can't you be still?" All his blows were as much lost upon the animal as were Frederick the Great's opinion misfortunes are upon Frenchmen.